I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate New York and through our links to Boston, Massachusetts, and Phoenix, Arizona. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, NMLS number 37405. Hunt Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our very skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's always our guarantee. And in today's rising interest rate market, or sometimes coming down a little bit, who knows what it's going to be tomorrow, you want to make sure that you're getting the very best deal. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our unique pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. In today's still very competitive residential real estate market, where there remains a shortage of listings, when you do find the house you want to make sure that your offer is as strong as possible when there may be more than one offer. From a seller's perspective, cash is very persuasive. So working with a skilled Hunt sales professional armed with your pre-purchase commitment, your offer is the equivalent of cash. And you may find yourself now in a house that was right for you when you bought it years ago, but you've outgrown it, or maybe it's outgrown you. In any case, it no longer meets your lifestyle. But where are you going to go, even if you were to sell for a great price? Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate have combined to solve that problem through the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home. We've combined a bridge loan and a guaranteed sale on your present home to get you out looking for that right house for you right now. To learn more about any of our unique programs, call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-716-633-3700 for personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. Go Bills. Big game tomorrow. We're also proud supporters of our Buffalo Bisons, and I think we're done for the season, the Bisons. Are we?
I don't know that answer. I think they are.
Went to the game last Saturday.
Yeah.
Beautiful day. And
yeah, I heard the fireworks. I think it was at least the last home game, whether or not they've finished the season.
I think they finished in Scranton this week. But anyway, it was great. It was great to have them back in town, being able to go to the games again.
Yeah, definitely.
We are broadcast live on WBN 930 AM and 98.5 FM HD3, and you can listen anywhere in the world through the Odyssey app or at WBEN.com. If you'd like to participate in today's show, call us here in the studio at 716-803-0930 or text us at that same number, 716-803-0930. And if you're long distance, it's 1-800-616-9236. If you're mobile, it's *930. Those are all free calls, so join us on the air at Our House. We have a very special show for you today. Back after 8 years, 8 years last time you were on here. I couldn't believe this. More than 8 years.
How come you haven't invited me?
Well, I had to bump into you to find you, I guess. But anyway, I'm glad I did at that event at Burfield.
Happy to be here. Thrilled.
It's good to have you back. This is, of course, Tim Kennedy, Senator Tim Kennedy, Senator from the 63rd District of the State of New York. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks so much. Great to be with you, Peter.
It's good to have you here. You know, everybody's heard of you, Tim. You know, you've done a lot of very good things here in town. But take us back in history a little bit. Tell us how you got to be Senator Tim Kennedy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, thanks again for having me. Good morning, everybody, Buffalo, Western New York. Let me just start, because over our shoulder here, Peter, we're looking at these videos on the news about Hurricane Ian hitting Florida. You know, our hearts are with the people of Florida, and just on the heels of another horrific Hurricane Fiona that ripped through our fellow Americans down in Puerto Rico. It's been a tough couple of weeks in the United States, and just we got to keep those folks in mind down in Florida and down along the eastern seaboard of the United States as they're dealing with the fallout of these horrific hurricanes and down in our friends down in Puerto Rico. But going back, you know, geez, back to my college days, I'm born and raised in Buffalo. You know, live in South Buffalo my entire life. My family, back to my great grandparents, lived in the city of Buffalo. You know, we're doing our history and learning more every day. Quite frankly, in the last couple of weeks, I learned quite a bit, and including last night, my father's now doing his own DNA and history. And so, you know, I have deep roots here in Buffalo, and back in the 80s, I was born in 76. Back in the 80s, I'm a child of the 80s, and then the 90s. You know, Buffalo wasn't doing so well. You know, our city, our community was going in the wrong direction. You know, it was not for lack of concern or desire in the community, but unfortunately, lack of investment and investments that had bottomed out the industrial history of Buffalo, the steel industry, the port industry that had left Buffalo because of the Welland Canal in the 50s being built. Of course, the Great Depression did everybody a disservice countrywide, but it particularly hit us here hard as we were still on the upswing in the 20s, a great city in Buffalo and our community. And, you know, fast forward to the 90s, we were still trying to find our legs, get our legs underneath us. I went to a Duval College, now Duval University. I got my degree in occupational therapy. So my mother told me when I got my degree, I would get a job out of school right away. I ended up working in the private sector as an occupational therapist for years, but it was actually driving from South Buffalo to the West Side to go to school every day. I'd be driving through downtown Buffalo in the 90s, remember?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a very negative, pessimistic outlook of our city from our community. And I said, you know what? You know, this is our city. I care about our city. I care about the place I live. And I want to do something about it. So I had this burning desire to get involved in the community and to really change the community for the better. And, you know, I started thinking about getting involved in politics and government. One of my teachers who had actually fled Havana, Cuba, Dr. Olga Mendel, she actually came to me as we were down in Panama, Central America, after studying the relationship between the United States and Panama for a semester. We were down there doing our work, and she said, have you ever thought about getting involved in politics? And she was involved because she knew the importance of government, because she had to flee communist Cuba in the 50s and as a refugee settled in Buffalo. But she said, you ever think about getting involved in politics? I said, I think about it every day, but I don't know how. And she gave me the greatest advice that I was ever given. And I give it to folks all the time. I'll give it to your listeners today. And I especially give it to your young people in our community. And it's volunteer. Mm-hmm. She said, when you get home, she says, volunteer in politics, volunteer in government. Your parents must know somebody. So I dove in head first when I got back to Buffalo, and I haven't turned back. You know, I worked for years volunteering on every political campaign I could, you know, built up a network, built up support, started a nonprofit, was invested in the community all the while, getting my degree as an occupational therapist, going to work, meeting my wife, starting a family in 2004. An opportunity came when Congressman Higgins was elevated from the Assembly to Congress. Mark Schroeder went from the Erie County Legislature to the Assembly, vacant seat there. I started in the Erie County Legislature in December of 2004. 6 years later, there was an opportunity for me to run for Senate. I primaried the sitting senator in 2010 and won that race. Then we had a big race in November, won that in 2010. And I've been in the Senate since. So it's been 12 years in the Senate, 8 of those years in the minority, 4 of those years now in the majority. And, you know, we're delivering now for our community more than ever before. And, you know, I think there's great opportunity to continue that narrative. And so, you know, we have seen the community, the city of Buffalo and Western New York, really change this mindset from those days when I was in college, this pessimistic, negative mindset about ourselves, into a mindset where we actually believe in ourselves. We are seeing how great we are once again as a community, how great our potential is once again as a community. And we want to continue to capture that momentum, build on that momentum, and really transform our community for the better for the next generation. You know, I was of a generation where people were fleeing our community. My generation was leaving our community by the tens of thousands. You know, between 1999 and 2010, 50,000 people, my generation, between the ages of 18 and 35, left Buffalo and Western New York because of a lack of opportunity. They couldn't find a job here. And when they left our community, they set up roots in other communities. They brought that brain power to other communities, that economic power to other communities, and that youth to other communities and energy. And, you know, so our community, Buffalo and Western New York, was suffering for years from an exodus of our youth. And so that has been a key component of my work, is creating an economy where we can give people jobs and opportunity here in Buffalo and Western New York, keep our youth here, keep our educated people here, and really grow our economy from a grassroots perspective from the ground up, and attract investment and attract youth and energy and opportunity from elsewhere to invest in Buffalo and Western New York. So that is really a key priority and component of the work that I'm doing each and every day, because I've lived it. I've seen the reverse side of this great momentum that we have right now. And quite frankly, we stand on the shoulders of other generations of folks, yourself included, people that were here before me and that have stood through the tough times in our community to really re-energize and refocus the future of Buffalo and Western New York. And I think it's very bright.
I want to touch on two phrases you used in your discussion just now. One is delivering for our community, and I'm going to ask you about how you do that. Mm-hmm. And the other phrase is transforming our community for the next generation. But I want you to think about it in light of some data that just came, not just, but a couple of weeks ago, came out from CNBC that rates the states against each other in terms of attractiveness and business friendliness, frankly. Mm-hmm. We were 22nd in out of 50 states in 2021. We're 36th this year. How does delivering for our community dovetail into that? Because what I'm hearing a lot, first of all, young people can get jobs here. We have lots of jobs open, mm-hmm. as you know. And people with a good education that have a skill like you developed when you were in college, there's jobs here. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it.
Yes.
Most employers are struggling to keep the doors open just by way of employees. And now we've got, obviously, inflationary headwinds, et cetera. But the fact of life is that, so what you're saying earlier about opportunities for young people, they are here. And there's no question about it. There's also organizations like 43 North mm-hmm. that are investment on the part of states, some $30 million, that has yielded something like $300 mm-hmm. million dollars in terms of real employment and benefit to our community. Mm-hmm. And that's two numbers I got directly from Eric Reich, who's the head of that, as you know. So let's go back to delivering for our community. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, look, as you know, and as I think the people know, there is no silver bullet. If there was, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Right. This is a grind. Everything we do, everything I do every day is a grind. And it's a matter of just continuing to try to find positive forward movement amid a very difficult environment, especially now. You know, we're coming off the heels of this pandemic. Hopefully we'll see the numbers stay at a level where we don't have to go back to, you know, the bad old days. But, you know, we're in a position right now where we have to try to rebuild momentum to the level that it was pre-pandemic. So I think that we are all feeling the impact economically and otherwise, not just in New York State, but across the nation, across the globe. But delivering for the community really starts with the work that I'm doing each and every day, identifying issues in the community, having the community communicate with my office on a regular basis. We have an open door policy. You know, we want to hear from folks about the issues that they see are their priority in the community. I always want to have a open dialogue with my constituents and folks throughout Western New York. It's important that we're hearing what the issues are. You know, I'm in a unique situation now, having 12 years under my belt in the Senate. Out of 43 members of the Senate Democratic majority that I'm a part of, only having 6 members of the Senate with more seniority than I have. So there's been a lot of changeover in the Senate on both sides of the aisle. In the majority that we're in right now, it gives me some influence and leadership as a part of Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins' leadership team to help direct traffic when it comes to the budget discussions. And I'm in the middle of budget discussions when they're coming our way. We're making sure that the biggest priorities in Buffalo and Western New York are top priority down in Albany from a Senate perspective. We have a great colleague and colleagues in the Assembly, but starting with Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, a great colleague that she and I work very closely together on policy issues at the top level of Buffalo and Western New York's list. And then, of course, we have the governor, Kathy Hochul, who, you know, look at having a Buffalonian in the governor's office is imperative to having our ability to deliver for our community. 135 years since we had the last governor from Buffalo. It was Grover Cleveland before he went to the White House. 135 years, that's a long time. And
is Kathy going to follow that same path?
Well, we will find out, I suppose.
Just kidding.
First things first, yeah, you know. But look, at delivering for the community, I'm chair of transportation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we look at...
What do you cover in that
everything. You name it. It has something to do
throughway?
With transportation. Everything. The throughway.
There's a throughway authority, though. Is that a report through
it reports both through my committee, transportation, but also through the corporations and authorities committee as well. There's a number of different committees, but you know, we're always in the conversation and just, you know, having the ability and whether I'm in this position of influence as chair or not, everyone has a voice or should have a voice. And, you know, so we've always worked aggressively to bang the drum on issues, even if I don't have this title, so to speak. So, but it does open up opportunity for me to, you know, have more influence within some of these agencies like the Department of Transportation. For example, when it came to the five-year capital plan that was just put forward, you know, the federal government put a $1.2 trillion capital plan led by our Congressman Brian Higgins, for which for many years fought to get this record level of investment. Quite frankly, with the $1.2 trillion, I believe it's just a great start, but a great start nonetheless.
You're talking about the whole transport, the whole infrastructure bill.
That's right. From the federal level, and you know, New York State received billions of dollars. What we were able to do with that is with this five-year capital plan, the first five-year capital plan in many years that we've had here in New York State, a $32.8 billion capital plan, a record level of funding that's going to go into our roads, our bridges, all of our transportation systems, allow us to do these big picture projects like Buffalo's Kensington Expressway, reimagining the Kensington that was gutted out of the center of the city of Buffalo. Everybody should be heartbroken about this. If you think about this, taking an Frederick Law Olmsted Parkway, historic parkway, and dismantling it and putting a below grade throughway in there, and what it did to decimate that neighborhood where tens of thousands of people live. We're going to reimagine that. So we were able to put in $1 billion. $1 billion coming to Buffalo. Think about that. And if that $1 billion doesn't come to Buffalo, you know where it goes? Elsewhere in New York State. We're spending the money. And this is what's happened historically. Money that has been allocated in the budget, Buffalo was an afterthought. Buffalo was not given top billing. Buffalo was not given a priority status. And I don't care who the governor was historically that said that we were, no matter what that I've seen, we were playing second fiddle to downstate.
Well, let me just stop you there. The Buffalo Billion, one mm-hmm. of your colleagues from the state legislature sat in that chair when all this was happening. And mm-hmm. and he said, the Buffalo Billion. I said, tell me about the Buffalo Billion. He said, well, let me see. The budget at that point was like $14 billion, whatever it was. He goes, which billion is the Buffalo billion?
Mm-hmm.
He said there's not another billion, mm-hmm. so it's just a matter of reallocation. And inside the legislature and the Senate, everybody's fighting for that same, their own allocation.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to benefit, besides obviously the fact that the governor's from here, but how do you deliver, so to speak? I mean, this whole delivering thing, I love when everybody in politics, I'm delivering to my constituents. So you're fighting for those dollars, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, it's a dogfight.
But you need a project.
That's right.
So how do you identify the projects, and then how do you get them on the list?
Great question. So 33 Expressway. Let's just use this as an example, and I have several more, and I'll share those. 33 Expressway, the biggest infrastructure project in the history of our community that's going to transform an East Side community that was devastated 70 years ago by the implementation of this expressway. How do we get that funding? The community for over 20 years has stood together and called for this type of investment. And here and there, they've gotten both lip service and piecemeal approach funding. But what's really transpired in the last several years under the leadership of Majority Leader Crystal People Stokes and working with myself as the Chair of Transportation is we have risen that priority status from our community to the top levels in Albany. And when Governor Hochul became governor, it was her top priority as an infrastructure project in our community, because not only does it resolve an injustice from decades ago, generations ago, but it's going to put people to work. It's a major investment. Anytime that we've seen, as you know, Peter, in the business, anytime we've seen a strategic investment of public sector dollars, it's transformed the community by leveraging private sector investment.
Well, not every time. Let me take you back to one time and when it didn't.
Sure.
And this was when we put the rapid transit system in,
sure,
in through the city of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. That destroyed private businesses.
I agree.
And I had a chance to speak with Henry Nowak, who's always considered to be a good friend and a good friend of this community. Mm-hmm. And I sat in his office and asked him about, you know, why we were spending this money when we had at that point a bus system that was profitable. Mm-hmm. The NFTA ran a bus system that was profitable. Why would we then put the system in? Well, and his comment, and I'm paraphrasing badly, but it was words to the effect that my job is to get dollars allocated to our community. And if the money's available, what would you do? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I don't know, but I just don't know what that good that's going to do for Western New York. And my building, Brisbane building, is right on this. And I watched that train go by empty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's one public investment has been a very bad investment.
And now we've got to undo that
put cars back on Main Street. And I had the mayor at my office just to talk about this because, you know, so it's not always.
Yeah, no. That's fair. Generally speaking, though, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's a very positive investment. And let me just talk about cars on Main Street. You're right. That was a decision that was made back in 1984 in the early 80s under much different. I was 8 years old. And, you know.
So you can't take credit for it?
I can take credit for fixing it, though. And that's what we're doing. Let me tell you something. We've just got $54.5 million. For the next phase of car sharing Main Street in this Department of Transportation capital plan. Since 2012, we've invested more than $107 million in federal, state, and city dollars to bring cars back to Main Street to right that wrong that's been identified that you just articulated perfectly. Look, there's actually nothing has been worse for our Main Street in downtown Buffalo than that pedestrian plaza, so to speak, that really ravaged all the business fronts along Main Street. And, you know, we're fixing that once and for all.
When I studied urban studies in college, at that point, Ottawa was building a pedestrian mall. Mm-hmm. And they thought this was the greatest thing in the world on Rideau Street in Ottawa. And I went up there and studied it. I spent one day a week for the whole semester up there talking with their planning department. They wanted to make Ottawa the most beautiful capital city in the world, and they did a pretty good job. But they quickly reversed course on that mm-hmm. pedestrian mall because mm-hmm. it ruined the businesses along there.
Yes.
And you know, I've watched this since 1984, just like you say. I've watched it ruin businesses, make a retail center, the central business district, you know, a ghost town for many years.
Yes.
Now we've seen cars come back, and we've mm-hmm. seen good things happen, but that's been spontaneous. A lot of it, people saying, okay, now I can at least drive close to my building, and so I'm going to.
Yeah.
It's not a nightmare to get there.
Right.
Anyway, we're going to have to go to a break. But when we come back, I want you to elaborate a little bit more on how other ways you're delivering, and also in the bigger picture as we transform. What do we do to transform this community? Still, we'll be back with more from our house to yours after these very important messages.
Buying a home can be challenging, especially if you need to sell your current house first. Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate are here to help with the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home. This innovative program features a bridge loan from Hunt Mortgage along with a guaranteed sale of your current home when you partner with a Hunt Real Estate sales professional. Visit huntmortgage.com/Golden Gate for more details. The Golden Gate from Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate. Your equity when you want it, your home home sold guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find not only a complete inventory of homes available in any of the market we serve, but also you're going to find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our exclusive program that is your assurance of the lowest rate and closing cost, the Second Look program, call 716-633-3700 today and ask for details. If you watch television at all, turn your computer on, your phone on, whatever device you're using, you're inundated with mortgage offerings, particularly to refinance your current program. How are you going to know you're getting the very best deal? Well, let us take a second look. Through Hunt Mortgage's Second Look program, there is no risk or cost, and we are so convinced this will help you that you're going to receive a gift certificate just for allowing us to take that second look at whatever you receive from any other lender. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home, only at Hunt Mortgage, 716-633-3700. My guest in the studio today is Tim Kennedy. We have a very special show for you. I think a lively discussion about really what it's like to be a senator, I guess, is what we're talking about here, Tim, and what it means to deliver for our community and also what it means to transform this community. Some of us have been around for a while and watched bits and pieces of this. We've also watched other cities and other states do a lot better. And I mentioned about the study of New York State versus every other state on a whole host of measures. And we're not getting better as a state vis-a-vis some other states. Some of that might be pandemic related and people being more mobile, I guess, just because of the way people work today, much less tethered to an office itself, let's say, or factory. But the fact of life is we're still having a very difficult time competing in many cases. You mentioned young people and how easily they can leave because their roots aren't sunk yet. And so they get a good education and they're going to go where they get the best opportunity. Hopefully that's here. And we educate a lot of people from outside of our community. There's some 80,000 students that are in the colleges in and around our city. But the fact of life is that we're competing for that talent with other states that have other opportunities too. And when they say to a young person, for example, well, you're going to pay this much in taxes in New York State, and this is what you're going to pay here. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to compete. Then go to the other end of the spectrum, the people that have acquired wealth. They've worked their tail off. They've built a business. Maybe they sold their business. And they're saying, well, where are my assets going to be best protected? Is it here in New York State? And so, a lot of these people are also mobile. Mm-hmm. And they can get back and forth here, and maybe they keep a residence here, but their primary residence now is someplace else. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that as you look at our state vis-a-vis other states? Because you mentioned Florida. Florida's devastated by this hurricane. But the fact of life is, they're booming. They're booming down there.
And look, this is a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle. It's constantly on my mind. It's a driving force in the work that I do. If you look at what we have in our community, though, let's talk specifically about Buffalo and Western New York. Mm-hmm. I believe there's no better place to make an investment than in our community and no better time to make an investment than right now. And you know what? I've been saying that for about a decade. I continue to be proven correct. You're seeing more investment in our community than ever before. And it's because people recognize the opportunity to make money here, quite frankly, and to make an investment that is pennies on the dollar compared to what they would have to make for the same investment in other communities, in other states, and in other regions of our state. Take Douglas Jamal, for example, who is truly a godsend to our community. Somebody that's come into Buffalo and Western New York, he's invested hundreds of millions of dollars, but as important as his money is his brain power, is his proven track record. You know, he's born in Brooklyn, went down to Washington, D.C. He's got 250 plus properties down in Washington, helped to transform that community, comes to Buffalo on a whim, quite frankly, and sees this opportunity at the time the One Seneca Tower was vacant, comes in, buys it. You know the story. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the story. And he starts picking up properties, historic properties, properties nobody ever thought they'd see transformed, and making, breathing life into them, making an investment, and hopefully making good on the investment. That's what we have to make sure of. So others continue to come as well. And, you know, what strikes me about Douglas Jamal is what he has said to me is his only regret about Buffalo is that he didn't find us sooner. You know, and I think that's the sort of mindset that we need to continue to focus on and attract. And, you know, we know that we have something special here. We have the infrastructure. We're right on the Great Lakes. We're right on the border of Canada. We're within a day's drive of a third of the population of North America. We've got everything going for us. We've got the bones for greatness. We just have to capture that greatness. Once again, we've seen it 100 plus years ago. You know, I got to the point, I'm sure you and many others are, you know, sick and tired of hearing about, you know, how great Buffalo was. You know, I think our greatest days are immediately in front of us. And it's a matter of us keeping our eye on the ball. And again, it's a grind. Just every day focusing on making sure we're bringing it home. You know, you want to talk about deliverables. Aside from this $32.5 billion capital plan, you know, we're talking about funding for our roads and our bridges. So I delivered in the last couple of years record level of funding for the city of Buffalo and for our surrounding community in the history of New York. We've never gotten more money than we have right now. Now we're investing that strategically. So when people like yourself and others are making investments in the city corridor, in the surrounding suburbs, that that investment is going to be backed up by key investments from the public sector in infrastructure because now they have the money.
Will this make us a wealthier community, though, Tim?
Yes.
So we're allocating tax dollars that we take from our citizens here, mm-hmm. reallocating it back to from the national level and state level, reallocating back to Buffalo, and hopefully we get our disproportionate share. But years ago, I had a conversation with one of our leading citizens, and we, at that point, were engaged in a campaign from the Buffalo Niagara Partnership called Get Real. And we had seven initiatives. I won't bore you with the details, but the whole idea was to make us more competitive here in Western New York. And so I'm engaged in the conversation with a couple other people that were at the time extremely influential people in our community. And I said, you know, how can we do one thing? How can we have our hand out to the state and say, give us more money to do X, Y, or Z? At the same time, we're just going to say, take less money from us on taxes so we can be competitive. How do we do that? How do we draw the line so that we're not talking out of both sides of our mouth?
Look,
and then in the meantime, planning our departure from New York State.
Look, the balancing act is we have to make sure we're making critical investments, but at the same time, attracting wealth here to our community and keeping wealth in our community, stopping the exodus of our educated youth to other communities, creating opportunities for folks that are educated with a college education here in our community in Buffalo and Western New York in different sectors, as well as providing opportunities for folks that don't go on to college, making sure that everyone has the ability to gain a career in, you know, maybe a skilled trade or some other sector. Maybe it's hospitality and tourism, opening up the doors for folks that allow them to build generational wealth, to allow them to afford a home, whether it's in the city or the surrounding suburbs, allowing them to start their family up and to provide that education for the next generation. What we've seen, sadly, and what we're continuing, and we will be for quite some time digging ourselves out of, is our own past where, you know, aside from the brain drain, you had wealth that left the center of our community and was dispersed throughout the greater suburban community. It's the story of urban centers around the country. And unfortunately, decreasing the tax base in the center core of the community to the point where it suffered and was decaying. We have to regain that greatness. And the only way we're able to do that is by thinking big. And the way we think big, especially these days down in Albany, is focusing on high-level, big projects, billion-dollar projects. If they're doing billion-dollar projects in downstate, I want billion-dollar projects in upstate in Buffalo and Western New York. That's what we're getting. That's what we're delivering. You know, some of the things that are going to be transformational, too, I think it's extremely important that we touch on the Environmental Bond Act, $4.2 $1 billion bond act that's going to be on the ballot this upcoming November, allowing including $500 million for zero emission school buses, an initiative that I drove, and electric vehicle infrastructure. New York State should be leading in a lot of these initiatives, and you know, we expect to do that. You know, we talked about cars sharing Main Street. We talked about the 33. Those are big level, high profile projects. But you know, the city streets, the suburban streets, the commercial corridors. How do we support our small businesses by making sure that the infrastructure around those small businesses is supported?
Well, let's speak practically.
Sure.
You talked about housing. That's obviously core to my world.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission here is to help people protect and enhance their investment here in Western New York.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully part of what you're saying here will make more of that possible. We talked earlier before the show about initiatives in various parts of the city to build brand new housing, which is essential, in mm-hmm. my opinion,
mm-hmm. no question.
To the revitalization of any community.
No question.
New homes. And we are some 5 million units short in the country today mm. of brand new housing, because during the recession, we went from about 2 million brand new housing starts to 400,000 at the depths of the recession. We've never gotten close to that. We're maybe at 1.1, 1.2 million now, but it's slowing down now because of interest rates and cost of materials. So in that environment, we have lots of lots, vacant lots, for example, on the east side of mm-hmm. Buffalo. But to deliver a home, even on a lot that's free, is going to cost $300,000 to $400,000. If it's to make it a nice, great house, a generational house like you were talking about earlier, creating generational wealth. So that you've got this gap between market reality and true cost. Is there a specific program out there? You know, I've been looking for this mm-hmm. just because we want to do something mm-hmm. here. But are there specific programs? Anything in your list of things that are going to address that thing? Because that will do more for turning around a community than just about anything else you could do.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Peter. And, you know, we have to ensure that not only we are providing housing opportunities throughout every community in Western New York, but good opportunities and long-term opportunities for folks, especially those that have not had the ability to afford a house in the past. You know, we talked about so many vacant lots and you know, you mm-hmm. mentioned the cost of it. This is how good ideas come to reality when you have a professional like yourself.
We have to go to a break.
Okay,
I want you to hold that thought.
We'll come
back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages.
Buying a home can be challenging, especially if you need to sell your current house first. Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate are here to help with the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home. This innovative program features a bridge loan from Hunt Mortgage along with a guaranteed sale of your current home when you partner with a Hunt Real Estate sales professional. Visit huntmortgage.com/Golden Gate for more details. The Golden Gate from Hunt Mortgage and Hunt Real Estate. Your equity when you want it, your home sold guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously improving huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment, the Second Look program, and the Golden Gate, the bridge to your next home. Call today, 716-633-3700. I'm live in the studio this morning with Senator Tim Kennedy from the 63rd District of the state of New York. We have a lively discussion about and I think in a broad sense, what we're talking about here is the role of government in the whole process of transforming our community to the next generation, to use your own words. And before the break, I cut you off. So if you remember what you're saying.
Yeah. Look, we have housing issues throughout our community. There are opportunities to give folks proper housing, affordable housing, and to recreate and transform what we are seeing as reality in every community. We can create brand new neighborhoods. We can give and provide housing, especially
when do we start?
Well, I think this is it. I think it's starting. I think, you know, and we talked about a sovereign's coming into the east side. It's building new housing. It's the first new housing in many years. The governor recently announced a new affordable housing program to provide for developers to come in and create affordable housing for folks. But I think what's most important, especially in this moment of self-reflection in our community and in our state and in our country, especially on the heels of the horrific massacre on the east side of May 14th, is providing individuals the ability to afford a home in their community and create, finally, generational wealth for themselves and their families. That's been missing. That's been missing forever. Why is that? Because there's been a lack of jobs, a lack of opportunity. There's been a wealth gap that's been created over time. And with that wealth gap, there's been an inability for many folks in the community to be able to afford a house. When you afford a house, when you buy your own house, not only are you invested in that home and in that community and in the quality of life in the community and in your own tax base and in your government and everything else that comes with it, but it creates generational wealth and the ability for you to provide for yourself, your family, and future generations. That's what a big part of what we're working on is, and I know it's a big part of what you're working on.
We had Nick Sinatra on last week, and we talked about I asked him to define affordable housing because I've had Bob Shibley on here. I've got everybody talking about affordable housing, and there is actually a definition of it, which he provided. I won't go into it, but it's defined by zip code and a bunch of demographic information, et cetera. But the fact of life is we have a huge, huge gap in between the type of housing that's available right now and this definition of affordable. There's a monstrous gap.
Mm-hmm.
Again, let's say we've got $1 billion sitting on the table there. Could that $1 billion, and I know this reimagining the expressway is a kind of a dream, and you know we'd love to see that happen, but it's going to take years. It's going to disrupt traffic patterns for a long time. Whereas if we took that $1 billion and said, okay, let's subsidize a $400,000 house down to $200,000, how many houses could we build?
Mm-hmm.
You can do the math.
Mm-hmm.
We can build a hell of a lot of houses.
Mm-hmm.
We can transform the whole city.
Mm-hmm. Let me be very clear, though. The community on the east side of Buffalo that was ravaged by a historic Frederick Law Olmsted Parkway being completely gutted and replaced with a below-grade throughway where you know people speed through there every day, and it basically cuts off an individual from shopping, from moving around the community, from visiting businesses, from visiting family on the other side. The community's cut in half. What we are going to do with this reimagining of the Kensington Expressway, we are going to reunite the east side of Buffalo with new parkland, with new areas of trees and, make it a more community-friendly
but the housing stock on,
neighborhood.
The housing stock on either—
drive up the housing stock on the east side.
Well, the housing stock, though, will be the same housing stock as it is now unless we start doing something about building individual houses as fast as we can build them.
On the vacant lots. But in the housing stock in Buffalo, I mean, we have beautiful historic housing stock that needs to be invested into, especially some of those historic neighborhoods.
Let's stop you right there. I'm sure you've seen some of these houses. They're beautiful houses, but they haven't been touched in a million years. People are living in these houses paying rent that's way too high. To some landlord that may not live within 500 miles of us here. And the fact of life is, how are these people being helped? I mean, because there's no money to be invested. The money's not being invested in these homes. They're beautiful homes, but they require almost everything. And you know what it's like to redo a house. I'm sure you've been through this process. You're talking minimally $20 a foot, maybe $100 a foot to bring an older house up to standard. Building a new house might be $200, $220, something like that. You give someone the option, would you like a brand new house? Or would you like to give it, here's some money to go fix it up on, but you got to use these approved contractors. We're spinning our wheels.
Yeah, So I think it's important that we clarify this though too. The funding we're putting into the reconstruction of the 33 Expressway to reunite the community and create a more pleasant quality of life on the east side of Buffalo for the tens of thousands of people that live around the Kensington neighborhood is specifically infrastructure funding that cannot be used elsewhere.
I get
and
that.
And so we can't confuse. I'm not saying
I'm not saying it's either or.
Because it can't be.
I would like to say that, but you can't do it.
Yeah, I
get that.
Yeah.
But the fact of life is, so $1 billion is spent, takes years to do this, and we've got now housing stock on either side of this beautiful new parkway that is going to be 3 more years older, 4 years older. What's going to happen to that? I mean, how can we do both? I guess what I'm saying, or do we need
question.
To do both?
Absolutely. That is the question. The question is, how do we do both? And so as we are investing $1 billion into the city of Buffalo, into the east side of Buffalo, into the reimagining of the expressway, which, by the way, we are going to also be investing hundreds of millions of dollars into the commercial strips, into the streetscapes, into the thoroughfares, into the residential neighborhoods. We're doing it all. At the same time we're doing that, yes, we absolutely need to make sure that we are providing good, safe, affordable housing and incentivizing the reconstruction of homes where it can be, where and providing in these areas where there are large swaths of vacant land and real estate, how do we develop that? How do we make it available maybe for seniors that want ranch homes with maybe patio homes? Maybe we can recreate whole new neighborhoods.
First of all, you have to figure out what they can afford, okay?
100%.
You can't build something they can't afford. That's not going to work. And there's been a lot of talk about building more rental housing. I guess you got to do that. I've had Pastor Jones sitting here talking about the great projects he's involved mm-hmm. in. And more and more it seems he's looking towards sale of property to people, because that's the way you build the wealth that you're talking about here.
Sure.
And so we build wealth in the community by infrastructure investment. But I mean, let's look at whole sections of our city that need new sewer lines, that need new water lines, that need the roads rebuilt.
100%.
Curbs.
Yes.
I mean, that's infrastructure too.
Yeah. And you know what? We bring in home funding for all of the above. The $4.2 billion Environmental Bond Act includes hundreds of millions of dollars for the infrastructure underneath us that we never see, but that we depend on each and every day. The rainwater drainage, the sewer drainage, the infrastructure for lighting up a neighborhood with Wi-Fi, the electrical grid.
And so what's the status of all that?
Well, it's on the ballot this upcoming November 8th and the 10 days leading up to the election on November 8th. And so I would suggest everybody vote yes, because we need that funding here. And there's never been a better time for us to invest in our infrastructure that we can see and that we cannot see and do right by our environment than right now. So I would say vote yes on that ballot initiative for new Environmental Bond Act.
Let me comment on one thing you said earlier, because I happen to agree with what you said about our community. There is something very, very special about Western New York. There's no question about it. I've been lots of places. You've been lots of places. I'm fortunate enough to see a lot of places. There's nice places everywhere. There's
no place like home.
But when you come back here and you look at 20% of the fresh water of the world going by us, and we've got, we've had Buffalo Riverkeeper on to talk about all the good things happening there. Our park system, Stephanie's been on here several times to talk about the magnificent asset we have there. Those kinds of things are underfunded.
Okay? No doubt.
They're underfunded.
No doubt.
And what they would do to add to the quality of life here would be spectacular.
100%.
More funding for that. And I know what you've done to help with things like the Albright Knox Gun Lock Museum. That's very much appreciated by everybody in this community. And that's important that we support those kinds of things.
Yes.
Birchfield Penny,
yes.
Et cetera. These are critically important things. But kind of back to the point here. We can pat ourselves on the back about living in this great community, but we've got a lot of work to do.
We've got a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about it. It's my driving force. When I see where we're at in the world, I see where we were, and I see the potential here. It's what drives me.
So let's look at what happens in other communities that are growing perhaps faster than we are. Well, number one, they relieve the regulatory burden wherever they can. Number two, they relieve the tax burden wherever they can. And number three, they don't necessarily decide at the public level what's going to happen. They let the community decide what's the most important priorities, and then somehow or other, that attracts private capital to do the things that need to be done. In other words, a free environment as opposed to kind of a top-down environment. And I could go into lots of issues. We only got 3 minutes left here, but I guess the bottom line is, what's the right balance here, Tim, between looking to Albany for all the answers and incenting private industry to do the right things here?
Well, look, again, there's a lot of driving forces in my work each day. And when I'm working with businesses, when I'm working with developers, when I'm working with visionaries in the community and investors and trying to attract business and investment here to Buffalo and Western New York, it's hand-on-hand. Combat. It's one step at a time. It's how do I work with that individual? What do we use at our fingertips, at our disposal, to help cut through the bureaucracy, to get through the red tape, to get through all of those layers? Would it be better to have in a perfect world if those weren't put in place over the last 100 years?
Well, let's take one thing.
Yes.
Say one thing
but
put in place
they're
recently.
They're there, unfortunately. And we have to go through. We have to cut through them. We have to help these businesses.
Somebody's texting, and Nick Sinatra addressed this last week too. We did do something here that was, in my mind, completely unnecessary, and that was the moratorium on rents, rent payments. Landlords went broke. People made decisions to sell properties that they didn't want to sell because, and by the way, they were less valuable because the rent wasn't being collected. That could have been corrected, and it wasn't until recently.
Well, look, we just came through a pandemic. And there were millions
I know
of,
only too well.
Yeah,
we
I
all
know.
Do.
Yeah, of course. There were millions of people, millions of tenants that were out of work,
but
out of money.
Why do we keep extending it?
And also the landlords that still had to pay the bills to the banks. So we put in two things. We put in the emergency rent relief for the tenants, and we put in the emergency relief for the landlords. And I've been working diligently with all the landlords that I know that have come to me in my office, including my friend Nick, to help them through the process because, again, there was nothing easy about it. It's never easy to navigate government. So we find ourselves oftentimes taking on issues that when they get to their worst point, when someone isn't able to navigate the system on their own, and we just work to help them open up those doors and get them the help and resources that they need and be that voice for them. So, look, again, we just navigated through a very difficult storm. We continue to. We've got a lot of work to do on all ends of that spectrum, and we're going to be there to do it.
I would like to apologize to the many people that texted and called in. We didn't even get a chance to address much of that today. Hopefully you'll hold those thoughts, and when we're back next week, you can share your thoughts with us live as we explore this and other topics more in the weeks ahead. Tim Kennedy, Senator from the 63rd District, State of New York, thanks for being with us
today.
Peter,
great to be with you. Thanks so much.
It's a lot of fun. I'd like to thank our listeners. Keep those texts coming in and your comments coming in. This is Peter Hunt. We'll be back next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.
WBEN Buffalo, WKSE 3 HD3 Niagara Falls.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.